Lesson 14, the body of Christ and our regenerated spirit.
Jesus.
Let's all declare verse 4 together.
The church is thy beloved bride, bound in thy body seen. She is my joy and our desire, the one of whom I lean.
Oh, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Well, I'm glad we sang this hymn and also the hymn that we sang before that, song number 40. Do you want to know your God? What's hidden in His heart for you? Before we get into tonight's message, you all have been here for 8 days now, right? Is that right? 8 days? 7 days?
8 days.
8 days. So, we've gone through a lot of material. If you look at the lessons, the first group of lessons we talked, well, the first lesson was about God's purpose. Mm-hmm. But then we talked about many points of who the Spirit is. Amen. And then we had a group of lessons on what your Spirit is. Then there was a lesson on the mingled Spirit.
Amen.
Right? So we had the Spirit and what the Spirit is doing, saving us. Then we have our Spirit, and then we have the mingled Spirit.
Amen.
Then this morning you had a message on serving God in Spirit.
Yeah.
Right? Now we're beginning to touch what is on God's heart. Now I know it's hot. It's been a long day, so I need your cooperation. To give me your attention, okay? Amen. Because God wants to unveil to us what is on His heart. And I don't know, if you have a secret, let's say you've been working on a project for someone, and you want, my daughter, she has two friends, and one of those friends was moving away this summer, going to another school next year. So they wanted to present her with a gift. And that gift was a scrapbook with photos and very well decorated. But they didn't want to unveil the scrapbook to her while it was in progress, right? They wanted to wait until just the right moment, at the very end. And because that's when their friend would appreciate it, right? At the very end of the school year, you have all the memories throughout the whole year collated all into one nice book. Well, I feel tonight the Lord wants to have that kind of unveiling to us.
Amen.
Regarding what is special on His heart.
Mm-hmm.
And we already sang it, so it's not a surprise. It was for her, the church, His bride. It was for her willingly He died.
Amen.
The church, the body of Christ, is on God's heart. And He wants us to see that. Okay? He wants us to grasp that. He wants us to comprehend and apprehend what is on His heart. But what is on His heart is very, very special, and it's very spiritual. That's why before you can see the church or the body of Christ, you need to know the Spirit in your spirit.
Amen.
Because the Spirit is the way the Lord unveils what's on His heart to you.
Amen.
Okay, so before we get into it, I'll give you an example. I need you all to pair off. Choose a partner or two who's next to you. If there's three people next to you, then there's three of you. If it's just the person next to you, then just the person next to you. Everyone have a partner? Okay, choose one person in your two or three. Raise your hand. Choose one person in your. Okay, so everyone have a partner, and then one of you raise your hand. Okay, the person who's raising your hand, close your eyes and put your hands over your eyes. Make it really, really dark. Okay, make it really dark. Take your glasses off. Okay, you, my friends, are the ones who have been born blind. You've never seen a thing in your life. Can you imagine that? Okay. Now, the other person, your friend, is normal, so that they can see. So one day you hear someone talking about, I don't know, pick a color, and you heard someone talking about that color, and you ask your friend, what is that? What is purple? Can you tell me what purple is? Okay, so you pick a color, ask your friend, and we'll give you a minute. The friend, you need to tell them. You need to answer that question. Figure it out. Okay. Okay, blind people, how did they do? How did your friend do? Okay, you can open your eyes now. You can open your eyes. You can open your eyes. How did they do?
Horrible.
Horrible.
Yeah, they said it was a color. And it's like, what's a color?
Okay, right, the blind person has tasted, has felt, has been able to touch things, has been able to hear things. So you should be able to tell them what a color is, right? They have all these senses. No? It's impossible. If I gave you more time, would you have been able to do it?
No.
No. Okay. Listen. Even if you described light to them, even if you described what light is, can anyone describe what light is physically? It's energy, right? And visible light has certain wavelengths. So you could say yellow is, I think it's 400 nanometers. Even if they could understand what color is, they still wouldn't get it, right? Listen, you need to use the proper organ to see the color, right? You need to use the proper sense. And to see the body of Christ, to see the church, you need to use your spirit.
Amen.
Not your mind. How many have had this experience? You've gone to young people's conferences before. Or maybe you've gone to a young people's meeting and it was so rich and so enjoyable. Then you go to school and your friend asks you, what did you do on your holiday? Or what did you do over the weekend? Have you ever tried to describe to them what a young people's meeting is like?
No.
Is it kind of like describing yellow to a blind person?
Yes.
A little bit. It's like, they don't get it. They don't get it. Because they haven't exercised their spirit. Right? Actually, sometimes I did that to my parents. I tried to describe the meeting to them, and I wasn't exercising my spirit. So then it just came out, blah. And I realized the matter of the church, the matter of the body of Christ, is altogether sensed by our spirit. We must use our spirit if we want to see what's on God's heart. So tonight we're just going to do a brief tour of the book of Ephesians. Okay, that's a letter in the New Testament that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. So let's turn to your outline and read the first verse there. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Okay, everyone have it? Okay, get it out quickly. We're on lesson 14. Page 25 in your outlines. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Okay, let's all read it together. Go. that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of Him. Okay, so Ephesians is a book on the body of Christ, the church. And there are two very important prayers that Paul prays for the believers in Ephesus. Chapter 1, the last part of chapter 1 is the first prayer. And this verse is part of that prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you something. May give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Okay, this prayer was a prayer for the believers to see the church, to see the body of Christ. Okay, now, you may say, oh, I know what the church is. I know. I grew up in the church. We go to the meetings, we read the Bible, we even learn to exercise our spirit. I know. But have you seen it? Listen, Paul, do you know how Paul was saved? Do you know the story? Paul saw something when he got saved.
Right.
Now, that's a special case. We may not all be able to have the same testimony as Paul, because Paul was chosen by the Lord in a very particular way. Paul, before he became Paul, he was known as Saul of Tarsus, and he was a Jew. And he took it upon himself, he thought he was serving God, to persecute the Jews who believed in Jesus. Right? He said, those Jews are heretics, because they said that Jesus is God. And we know that no man is God. So he set himself to go persecute and throw in jail any Jew he could find who was calling Lord Jesus. And he was on his way to a town to do this very thing, to imprison the Christians. And the Lord shined a great light that caused Saul to get down on the ground and prostrate himself, because he realized, here's God. And the Lord said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now stop right there. Why are you persecuting me? Okay? That must have been a surprise to Saul, because he thought he was persecuting some heretics, the believers. And all of a sudden, there's a voice from heaven saying, why are you persecuting me? What is this? This is a vision of the body. Do you realize when you touch a brother or sister, a member of the body of Christ, you are touching Jesus. You're touching the Lord of the heaven and earth. You're touching His body. Of course, Saul didn't know that. So then he said, who are you, Lord? Who are you? I am Jesus whom you persecute. So just from that, Paul had an enormous vision, and you could say a huge turn, a paradigm shift, to realize, whoa. This has never existed on earth before, where a people was actually joined to the Lord to such an extent that you touched that person and the Lord said, you touched me. Okay? So this is a huge vision of the body of Christ, and we should all aspire to see this vision. Tonight you will see a little bit, but as your life goes on, year after year after year, the Lord will be faithful to show you more and more. Amen. I can testify, I grew up in the church as a young person, but every stage of my life, the Lord took another step to show me even more what is the body of Christ.
Amen.
So tonight, I hope you will see something more, but never claim that you've seen it all. The Lord has more and more to show you.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's go to chapter 2. Actually, every chapter, the six chapters of Ephesians, each one speaks of the church and speaks of our spirit. So let's read the verse, chapter 2, verse 22. in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit. Amen. You also.
Amen.
Young people, you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit. This dwelling place is the church, and the location of the church is your spirit.
Amen.
So, when you go to the meeting, you go to the meeting at someone's house, or you go to the meeting at the meeting hall. When you enter the door, have you arrived at the meeting? Well, yeah, you say you arrived. Actually, the meeting is in your spirit.
Amen.
If you get into that room and you're not in your spirit, you're not in the meeting. You're somewhere else. You're in your soul. You need to get into your spirit.
Amen.
Now, in our spirit, we are the dwelling place of God. Actually, if you look, rewind a few verses before this. You can do this on your own time. You can read Ephesians, the whole chapter actually. The whole chapter starts out with speaking to us. We were Gentiles and we were dead in sins. So this backs up all the way to before we were saved. If you read from 11, verse 11, it says, you were the Gentiles, and you were called something by those who were the people of God. You were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, and you were alienated from the nation of Israel, God's people, right? So you were aliens, you were strangers. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think a week ago I asked who was not born in the United States of America, right? So when you came to this country, did you feel like it was a foreign land, right? In fact, you were probably, you're formally called an alien by the government, an alien, because you do not inherit the riches of this country. You're an alien. You're a stranger, okay? So before we were saved, brothers and sisters, we were alien. We were far away from God and far away from God's dwelling. We were strangers. But because of our salvation, we've been brought into the family of God.
Amen.
We've been brought into the household of God.
Amen.
And we've also been made the citizenry. We've been made citizens of God's kingdom.
Amen.
That means, verse 19 says that we are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You know, when I was growing up, actually, I didn't go to a lot of young people's meetings because they were always Saturday night, and I had orchestra rehearsal Saturday night. So I missed a lot of the young people's meetings. And actually, I wanted to go. At a certain point in high school, I realized, I think I'm missing out on something. So there were a few occasions that I actually did go, actually not to the young people's meetings. I went to a couple young people's conferences in high school. Mm-hmm. And of course, the other saints in my locality had been going to these conferences for several years already. Mm-hmm. But my going, I felt sort of a stranger because I didn't know the young people outside of my city mm-hmm. very well. Right? I didn't know them, and my fellow young people, they knew everyone. So I felt a little bit a stranger, right? But being there with the other young people, I just felt, this is family.
Amen.
I felt welcome. I didn't feel like an outcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a testament to the life that we share as God's family.
Amen.
This really is God's dwelling place.
Uh-huh.
And so, brothers and sisters, we need to be careful how we are in the church life. We have to realize we all are the saints.
Amen.
We all are brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Now, the church life isn't perfect, and we still have our preferences. Mm-hmm. Oh, I like to play basketball with these brothers, but I don't like them so much. Okay. Does that happen sometimes?
Yeah.
Oh, I prefer to talk to my friends over here. Well, they're sisters too, but they're different. Do you have that? Is that something that God is happy with? I think if you exercise your spirit, you'll realize that to God we are all the same.
Amen.
And we should all have the same love to one another.
Amen.
When you exercise your spirit, you realize every saint is precious. And every saint is a fellow citizen of the kingdom of God and a fellow member of the household of God.
Amen.
Then if you consider we are all members of the body of Christ, my fingers have no preference for the other fingers of the other hand. Right? There's no preference. This finger doesn't prefer that toe. That would be very strange if this finger prefers to be with my right pinky toe. Then I would be a very strange person walking around. Right? The members have no preference, but rather they just care for each other. If my ear is itchy, if my right ear is itchy, then my right hand will scratch it. My left hand won't say, hey, it's my turn to scratch it. That's a little bit strange. No. Right? So the members of the body have the same care for one another.
Amen.
And the more we exercise our spirit, the more we will have this experience that we are all being built together.
Amen.
As one household into the dwelling place of God.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's go on to the third one, chapter 3, verse 16. This is the second prayer in the book of Ephesians. Let's all read chapter 3, verse 16 together.
That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his spirit
into the inner man. Okay, well, you might say, well, this doesn't talk about the human spirit, but it's implied here in the words inner man. Okay, so you recall we had the three circles up, right, earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And we said that your personality is in your soul.
Right?
When you talk about your personality and your likes and how you think and how you choose, what you love and what you hate, that's all in your soul. We would say the soul is the seat. It's the location of your personality. That's the outer man. Because that's the soul, and the soul expresses itself through your body. When you got saved, you got another man.
Amen.
Sisters, you got another man too. In your spirit is the inner man. That inner man is Christ.
Amen.
And Christ is for his body.
Amen.
So, that inner man is a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We have a hymn, but in my spirit now there's a person now, born as a babe, so small, so weak, so low. You might say, oh, our spirit is wonderful, but actually the life in your spirit is just a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes my son, he's 8 years old, occasionally, you know, there was one time I remember he learned how to arm wrestle, I guess, from preschool or something. This was a long time ago. And he wanted to arm wrestle with me. I said, really? Okay. He didn't know. He didn't know he was not that strong. He thought he was strong. Okay. But the life in our spirit is young. It's not that strong. So Paul's prayer is that we would be strengthened.
Amen.
Our inner man would be strengthened.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
Right now, the life in your soul is strong.
Amen.
Right? When you had your rec time, did anyone ask the Lord, Lord, what would you like to do during the rec time today? Did anyone? Did anyone? Yeah? Did you ask the Lord? So, sometimes our soul is just so strong we didn't even think about the Lord. We forgot he was there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That means our inner man's not that strong. But Paul's prayer is that our inner man would be strengthened.
Amen.
So day by day, we need to exercise our spirit.
Amen.
It will get stronger. It will get stronger and stronger until at a point we'll realize, well, the Lord is always with me, and you don't forget him because he's so strong, right? Amen. But we need to exercise every day so that he can get stronger. Amen. Okay, let's go on to Roman numeral 4. Roman numeral 5, which is chapter 4. Okay, let's all read chapter 4, verse 23. And that
you be renewed in the Spirit of your mind.
I didn't hear everybody. Let's all read it together. Ready, set, go.
That you be renewed in the Spirit of your mind.
Amen. Okay, I'd like to spend a little bit of time here. That you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There's 2 points here that I wanted to bring out. One is on the word renewed. Everyone is looking for something new. On the way home from work one day, I was sitting on the bus and the girl next to me was scrolling through her phone. I don't know if it was Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. She was looking for something new, right? Looking at all the photos and the GIFs and, right? She was looking for something new. She was looking for something to entertain her mind, something interesting, something new. And we're all crying out for something new, whether it's a new experience or new shoes or new thing to learn. Let me tell you, young people, there's only one thing in this universe that is new. Remember, we were talking about sanctification, and I said, what's the definition of holy? It means unique, different than everything else, and only one is holy. That's God. Well, tonight, I'd like to say, only one is new. That's God. God is ancient, but he's new.
Amen.
And so, we need our mind to be renewed. Because our mind is old. And it's in the old creation. And it just thinks old thoughts. You might think that you're young and you're thinking new things. And you have a new idea. If we just did the meetings this way, it'd be new. Or if, you know... you consider the fashion of the age. You say, if I wear this, it'll be new. Well, guess what? No, we wore that 20 years ago. The fashion of the world is not new.
Right.
It just cycles over and over and over again, I can tell you. But we need to be renewed in our mind. And, I know this happens a lot. Sometimes we come to the meeting and... We just have this thought, oh, it's the same old, right? We sing some songs, we read some verses, we have some speaking, and then we have our snack. Same old, right? But that's an old thought. That's an old thought. If you exercise your spirit, you'll realize that that hymn is new.
Yes.
You know, we sang that hymn 40, and I was just so touched. I mean, I've sung it before. But because I touched the Lord, I was so touched that the Lord gave his all for the church. That just touched me very much. Even I admit, there was a tear. I was so touched by the Lord giving all for the church. Why is that? That's because I was exercising my spirit.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we could sing that hymn over and over again, and I would enjoy it so much.
Yeah.
You should try that one of your young people's meeting. Take a hymn, or maybe have one of your serving ones choose a good hymn that you can just sing the chorus. I did this once in a revival meeting in the church in Seattle once. We just sang a chorus over and over and over and over and over and over again for more than an hour. And guess what? That never got old because we were exercising our spirit.
Amen.
Saints, we need to touch that newness.
Amen.
You will never again say that that meeting was just same old, same old. Because when we get together, we touch the one who is new.
Amen.
Amen. What's the opposite of new? It's old. But also, I'd like to read to you what comes before this verse. Let's see, chapter 4. Okay. Chapter 4, in verse 17, Apostle Paul says that you no longer walk as the Gentiles also walk in the vanity of their mind. Okay. He says you no longer. So that means before they were saved, they walked a certain way. They walked, and we did, in the vanity of their mind. Okay, then it says, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God. We talked about alienated. Because of the ignorance which is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. What's the opposite of being renewed in our mind? Well, you might say old, but the word here is vanity.
Yes.
Vanity of their mind. What is vanity? Vanity is the opposite of purpose. Vanity means no meaning. I'll tell you a little story. When I was growing up, I was forced to play violin. Same? You know that? I had to practice. I had to practice and practice and practice. But when I entered ninth grade, my three brothers were also forced to play string instruments. But by the time I got to ninth grade, my youngest brother had been practicing cello for about a year. And he really got good at it. So by the time I was in ninth grade, we formed a string quartet. Two violins. The third one was forced to switch to viola. And then the youngest is cellist. And our last name is Shu, so we were the Shu String Quartet. And that was a big motivation to practice, actually, because now we were playing as a group, and now there's sort of was a meaning, right? A meaning to my practice, because we want to play well as a group. And by the time I was a senior in high school, we had performed quite a bit. We played at people's weddings, and we had done some concerts, and my parents said, okay, this is Israel's senior year. It's time for him to concentrate on his academics so that he can get to a good college and to, you know, prepare for college. But an opportunity came along that we just could not decline. We were invited to play at a special event in Portland, Oregon. That's where I grew up. At the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall. That is the concert hall of the Oregon Symphony. So it's the major concert hall there. And it was an event called Mozart Till Midnight. So they have Oregon Symphony, they had various other professionals all playing Mozart from 7 p.m. till midnight. And we were chosen. We were the only youth group chosen to play at that concert as a string quartet. And we had prepared already an entire string quartet by Mozart. It's called The Hunt. What a special night that was, because you're in this concert, it's a big concert hall, it's very fancy, and it's not Lincoln Hall or anything, it's not Lincoln Center or anything, but still, it was very special. And then, you know, the stage is completely cleared, and it's just us four there, and the lights are shining, and we played the entire string quartet, which is quite a feat, right? Usually, you might play one movement of something, but we played all four movements. And then there was the applause, and we took our bows. And I had this thought in my mind. I thought, this is awesome. This is great. We could really make it in the world of music. You know, that was my Olympic gold medal. This is the top, you know. We're here. We're the only youth group featured in this concert, this fundraising concert. But I had this another thought that just about immediately followed that. And that thought was, you know, it's kind of vain. I had this thought. Mm-hmm. To have this life of being musicians and creating music and getting the glory of performing before people. It's kind of empty. I realized, I had this thought. Of course, I was already saved, so I had this feeling, you know what? It's great. Maybe we could go on tour, we could build a name for ourselves. But I realized that is vanity. It really doesn't compare to God's purpose. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean that we didn't excel. Of course, we did. And we continued to practice. But I had this thought, Lord, I am not for vanity. You've saved me for a higher purpose. So I realized that concert, it was a great experience. But in a sense, don't concentrate on that vain glory. Right? Don't chase something that has no meaning.
Amen.
Now you may say, well, it was meaningful. And yes, it was. Mm-hmm. But it is not the ultimate meaningful thing. Mm-hmm. The ultimate is God's purpose.
Amen.
And we should pursue our human, you know, we should take care of our human responsibilities. So we need to pursue to be the best in our academics and other pursuits. But never go to the point where that becomes your life. Because if you do, at some point you'll realize there's nothing here. Mm-hmm. What is there? It's nothing. Mm-hmm. In the end, what is it? Compared to God's purpose. God's purpose is the reality.
Amen.
So that was, I think, that thought, even as we were taking our vows, to have that thought and to pray to the Lord, Lord, amen. That was a little bit of a renewing of my mind. Okay? And we should pursue that. So every day, you may have the thought, oh, here we go again. I'm going to another young people's meeting, or I'm going to another Lord's Day meeting. When you have that thought, be reminded, oh Lord, my spirit.
Amen.
I need to reject the old thought.
Amen.
And take in something that is new.
Right.
Take in God's thought, which is, this is His church.
Amen.
This is His body. And this is the reality.
Uh-huh.
The opposite of vanity is reality.
Amen.
And the reality is in Jesus. I promise you, if this fails, you come to me, I'll give you your money back. Jesus is always new.
Amen.
He is always new.
Amen.
And He will make you new. That is what the renewing of the mind is. Okay, I said I had 2 points on this verse. The second point is this phrase, spirit of your mind. Look at that phrase, spirit of your mind. It's not spirit and your mind, or spirit with your mind. Right? If I use those conjunctions, then it's spirit and the mind are two separate things. But it's spirit of your mind. That shows that the spirit has so invaded your mind that the two belong to each other. It's the spirit of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Many times, I mean, in the past few days, probably some brothers have talked about dividing our soul, right? We make a distinction when you realize, okay, that's my soul life that's craving 10 more minutes on Facebook. And my spirit is saying something else, saying it's time to get into your Bible reading. Right? We have to divide between soul and spirit. And sometimes you have an inner voice, you have to distinguish, is that me or is that the Lord? Right? We have to practice to take a stand with the Lord in our spirit.
Amen.
But the more you do that, the spirit in your spirit invades your mind. It begins to fill your mind so that eventually your thoughts are actually the Lord's thoughts.
Amen.
And you may say, well, was that from me or was that from the Lord? Actually, it was from the Lord in your mind.
Amen.
The Spirit was so strong, it invaded your mind.
Amen.
And so you had the idea, I need to give my companion a call. But actually, that was the Lord. And you don't need to say, well, was that me or was that the Lord? It was the Lord in you. Okay, so when this renewing happens, day after day, week after week, month after month, that spirit will become one with your mind, and you will begin to have the thoughts of the Lord. This is a precious thing. And this is very necessary for our living the church life. Because we in the church life, we contact each other. And our mind, if we're not careful, we will think things about each other.
Yeah.
Right? But with the renewing of our mind, our thoughts, we reject the thoughts of our old mind. We get the thoughts of Christ.
Amen.
And those thoughts are for His body.
Amen.
Okay. Now, let's go on to the next one, which is chapter 5, verse 18. This one is a very good one. Let's read chapter 5, verse 18 together. Go. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissoluteness, but be filled in spirit. I hope none of you have had the feeling of being drunk with wine. Maybe you've seen someone who is drunk with wine. Some people drink wine because they want to escape their troubles. They want to escape their life. And so they drink and drink and drink, and they become drunk. And if you view someone who's become drunk, basically they don't care about anything.
Yeah.
Right? Their troubles have gone away. Well, sort of. Actually, they've drunk themselves to dissoluteness. You know what dissoluteness means? I didn't have a dictionary on me, so I didn't look it up. But it's basically, you've drunk yourself to nothing. You've just wasted away. Consider the word dissolved. You've become nothing. And a drunk person is useless. Right? So don't be drunk with wine, but be filled in spirit.
Amen.
We've been talking about the spirit, the spirit, the spirit. Guess what? We need to be filled in spirit.
Amen.
That means you're so full that it just, the spirit comes out. I believe we had a lesson on being filled in spirit, right?
Right.
I thought about this, and one memory came to mind. I was listening to a message, and Brother Lee charged the young people in that meeting. He said, "You need to call on the Lord and tell the Lord I love you 1,000 times a day." And there's a hymn we have. "Oh Jesus, Jesus, dearest Lord, forgive me if I say," as if it would trouble him, "for very love thy sacred name 1,000 times a day." If you sleep 8 hours, that leaves 16 hours of waking. And if you take 1,000 divided by 16, it's 62 times per hour. That's 1,000 times a day. Not counting the times you call on the Lord in your sleep. Okay? So, that's 62 times an hour. That's 1,000 times a day. I challenge you. How about you try calling on the Lord 1,000 times a day? Not because I said, but because for very love. Lord, I love you. So I call on you, Lord Jesus. You will be filled in spirit. I guarantee it. If you call on the Lord for 10 minutes because you love Him, you will be filled in spirit.
Amen.
And there's no comparison to being drunk with wine. You will be in joy. And you will be overflowing. You should try it. Take 10 minutes with your companion one day. And just, it's best if you're face to face. But it'll work if you're on the phone too. Call on the Lord. Just call on the Lord.
Amen.
You know, go somewhere where you can do it loudly. For 10 minutes. I guarantee you, at the end of the 10 minutes, you won't want to stop. Because the Spirit is flowing and the Spirit is filling. So we need to experience that. We need to experience the filling of the Spirit. And, I wish we didn't stop at verse 18. Because verse 19 describes what is the filling. Right? So verse 18 says, "But be filled in spirit." Then verse 19 says, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and psalming with your heart to the Lord." And then also, "Giving thanks at all times for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to our God and Father, and then also being subject to one another in the fear of Christ. So there are three things here. What does it look like to be filled in spirit? Speaking to one another.
Amen.
And then giving thanks. And then being subject to one another. Okay? So you may say, okay, I'm going to try this. I'm going to call on the Lord 1,000 times today. Maybe tomorrow morning you wake up. Or when you go home, you might say, today is the day I'm going to try it. Well, brothers and sisters, this is not just for your own good, although it is. This is for the body life. Right? Being filled in spirit is for speaking to one another.
Amen.
Right? It's for giving thanks, and it's for being subject to one another.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, we need to take care of our personal relationship with the Lord. We should tell the Lord, Lord Jesus, I love you. But that filling of you personally will lead you to care for the body.
Amen.
And then you'll call up your companion and say, let's pray to the Lord. Let's say, Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
That is very, very sweet in the Lord's ears. It's very sweet when you say, Lord Jesus, I love you in your personal time. Then you get filled in spirit. But then you get together with the other members of the body and you say, Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
How wonderful that is. Then that will be not a day that's so-so, same old, same old. Right? That will be a day that you experience the renewing of the mind.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. The last point, and then we'll have some time to pray and some time for you all to speak. Let's all read chapter 6, verse 18 there. By means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in spirit, and watching unto this, in all perseverance and petition concerning all the saints. Okay, the last chapter of Ephesians, chapter 6, talks about the body of Christ being the warrior. There is a warfare. And I believe the brothers have spoken about it on occasion this week, that God has an enemy, right? And Satan has an instrument through which he works, the world, and he uses the world to battle against God's economy, right? So that God doesn't get his purpose. And so the body of Christ exists to war on behalf of God and his purpose. Now, if you read all of chapter 6, you'll realize that there's an armor that the body wears. There's a helmet, there's a breastplate, there's shoes, they're actually gospel shoes. And these are all defensive. And then Paul says, and you are there to stand. If you just stand without falling over, that's the victory. All you have to do is keep your stand against the enemy. But there is one offensive item, just one. All the others are defensive, right? The helmet is to protect you, the breastplate is to protect you, the shoes are to protect you. There's one thing that's offensive, one thing that destroys the enemy, and that is the sword of the Spirit.
Uh-huh.
The sword of the Spirit.
Amen.
What are we talking about this summer school of truth? The Spirit. The Spirit is a sword.
Amen.
How do you use that sword? How do you use that sword? Well, you have to read the verses. It's always good to, it's good to memorize these verses, but it's always, if you're a seeker, you'll read the verses that are around it, so you know what it's about. Okay, so it's always good to look at the context. Okay, so verse 17, which is before this one, says, and receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the word of God. Okay, then it says, by means. By means is modifying the verb, and the verb was receive. Right? So he was saying, receive the sword of the Spirit by means of all prayer and petition. So that's this verse. Praying at every time in spirit. So we receive the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the Word of God. So Spirit and the Word are one thing. How do we receive that sword? We receive it by means of prayer and petition in spirit. So in verse 17 is sort of the capital S Spirit, and then verse 18 is praying at every time in small s Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we need to exercise our spirit to pray. Amen. That is how we take offensive against the Lord's enemy.
Amen.
Is by our prayer. And if you don't know what to pray, the Spirit is the Word. Mm-hmm. So it's all there in the Bible. We just pray the Lord's Word back to Him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You don't know what to pray? Take the verses. Take the morning revival verses.
Right.
Your reading of those verses is a sword to the enemy.
Amen.
Do you believe that? Maybe you don't realize that. Mm-hmm. But it is.
Yes.
It is. You're speaking, especially when you pray out loud, I would say. That is a sword that silences the enemy.
Uh-huh.
In the morning, maybe you can't be too loud if you have roommates or you can't pray too loudly, but at least open your mouth a little bit to pray the words of the Lord back to Him. Then, verse 18 also says, petition. Petition is to ask someone, right? If you petition the government, that means you ask something of the government and you get 1,000 people to sign the petition. That means 1,000 people have the same asking, same request. A petition here is to request the Lord on someone's behalf. A family member who's not saved.
Mm-hmm.
Or a friend that you want to invite to the meeting. You petition the Lord. Lord, soften my friend's heart.
Uh-huh.
Make him open to come to the meeting.
Amen.
Make him open to the gospel. Or I'm going to speak to him or her during lunch today.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I ask for this person.
Amen.
When you exercise your spirit in this way, the enemy is defeated.
Amen.
And especially, remember, this is the body we're talking about. Especially if you have that petition, you share that prayer with your companion, you will see the Lord has a way to move.
Amen.
It may not happen, if you start praying today, it may not happen tomorrow, but you keep praying. The Lord will move in even ways that you did not imagine.
Amen.
And I think many of us have this experience that we prayed and the Lord cooperates with our prayer.
Amen.
So, and this is all for His church.
Amen.
For His body.
Amen.
Okay, so I think I've said enough. I just want to read again this stanza from hymn 852. For her thyself thou gavest, Lord, that she be thine complete.
Amen.
The Lord gave Himself. He paid the ultimate price for the church.
Amen.
Right? He paid the price, the ransom, which was His very life. For her, I too my body give, thy heart's desire to meet. Now you might say, well, that's not the spirit, that's my body. But that's referring to Romans chapter 12, where Paul says, give your body as a living sacrifice. And why your body? Because your body is the container that includes your soul and your spirit. So, for your spirit to get to the meeting, your body has to go there.
Right.
We're not... Actually, Paul, he was not with the Corinthians, but he said, my spirit is with you. But that's because Paul had a very strong spirit. So he could be with the Corinthians even though he wasn't there. He was in a different city. But for us, for our spirit to be at the meeting, our body has to be there. So if the Lord gave His body for the church, how about I? Would I give my body, present my body as a living sacrifice for His heart's desire?
Amen.
Then, for her, thou hast become my life, that she my living be. Okay? For her I would forsake myself, that she be filled with thee. The Lord has become our life. And we enjoy the Lord as our life, right? But that life is not just for me to have a happy Christian life. That life in our spirit is for the church life.
Amen.
And so the church would become our living.
Amen.
I hope, brothers and sisters, that when we go back, we don't just go back to a once a week church life.
Right.
Sometimes we don't live, if you don't live close to the saints, your only opportunity to see the saints might be on the weekends. So you might say, well, I can't help it. But just because you're far away from your companion, nowadays it's not that far.
Right.
We can still have fellowship from day to day and make that our living. You still have to go to school. Maybe you have no spiritual companions at school, or you participate in all these activities, but you have given yourself to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so when you do all these things, you are doing them with the Lord, and you're actually doing them with your companion.
Amen.
Because you're praying for one another. You're praying for one another. You're praying for your companion. Oh, I pray that my fellow sister, when she goes to school, she'll be going to school in spirit.
Amen.
And when she talks to her friends, she'll still be in spirit enjoying you.
Amen.
Regardless of what they're saying, right? Or whatever sports you're in, or whatever activities you're in, the Lord is there with you, and He wants to live with you in your spirit.
Amen.
And when you do that, that's actually the church life.
Amen.
Then when you come together in the church meetings, there's an overflow. And that's because you've been living the church life. Even though you haven't been going to meetings, you've been living in your spirit, which is a life for the church life.
Amen.
Anyway, I think that's enough. I know I didn't see all of that when I was 14 years old, but the Lord is going on.
Amen.
We need to aspire to see more and more. I think
Amen.
The Lord will be faithful to show us more and more.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's have some prayer with your seatmate. Pray for our inner man to be strengthened.
Amen.
For us to have this vision of our spirit for the body of Christ.
Amen.
For the church, which is His heart's desire.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.